You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Our last story today is about a national historic park that's a little closer to home. It's called the Rosie the Riveter World War II Home Front, and it's right on the water in the city of Richmond. During World War II, people from around the country came to work in Bay Area shipyards.
We are still short millions of hands. We must call upon women. Women are called upon to leave their homes and take jobs.
For the first time, women were allowed to work in high-paying jobs, previously only done by men. At the height of the war, women made up more than a quarter of the Richmond shipyard's workforce. Rosie the Riveter is the icon we remember to celebrate these women. But according to Betty Soskin, who worked in Richmond at the time, the story of Rosie the Riveter...
That was a white woman's story. I was an African-American woman, colored in those days.
Betty told another side of this story to reporter Callie Shanafelt in this segment from our archives.
Betty Reed Soskin was 4 years old when she moved to the East Bay. She grew up there in a Creole and Cajun community from New Orleans. She got married in 1942, soon after the United States entered World War II. Soskin says the Bay Area quickly became a hub of wartime shipbuilding.
It took seven people to support everyone on the front.
And workers were in demand. But there was a hierarchy, Soskin says. First hired at the Richmond shipyards were men who were too old to fight, and boys who were too young to go, then single white women, then married white women.
Then black men to support the Rosies, do the heavy lifting. Eventually, black women, but that wasn't until 1944, though there were some exceptions.
So Soskin says when she was looking for work as a 21-year-old African-American woman in 1942, her options were limited.
I was seen as only fit to be a domestic servant or to work in agriculture, which means picking cotton.
In fact, Henry Kaiser recruited workers for the shipyards from cotton-growing southern states, such as Mississippi, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas.
And he brought to the Bay Area the entire system of segregation as it existed in the South. He brought black and white people together. These were largely sharecroppers of both races, who would not be sharing either drinking fountains or schools or hospitals or public accommodations or even cemeteries for another 20 years back in their places of origin.
Prior to this great migration, Soskin says racial discrimination in the Bay Area was more subtle than Jim Crow segregation. So when people came from the South, they shook up the racial dynamics of Richmond.
White people, even at that level, that economic level, expecting a continuation of white privilege. Black people expecting a better deal.
And while many African Americans did find a better life in the Bay, Soskin says they didn't exactly find an equitable one. Black workers weren't allowed into the shipyard's Boilermaker Union. So in 1943, they established the auxiliary, A36, for black workers. That union hired Betty Soskin to work in the administration office.
All those people who worked out of our union hall had helper or trainee on their union cards. That would mean that they would not be in competition with white workers after the war ended.
But having a union card, even as a helper or trainee, usually meant better wages. And while Soskin never saw a ship, other black women fought to get jobs as welders or burners in the shipyard. Margaret Archie, who followed her husband to the shipyards from Texas, was one of those women.
Mostly, they wanted women to sweep. And my husband said, no, you ain't going to sweep. Said, you sweep all your life. So you going to wail.
So Archie's husband went down to the union hall.
You had to know somebody that was in the union to get you in.
The person her husband knew charged them $20 to admit Archie into the union so she could become a welder. She says it was a rare accomplishment for a black woman in the 40s.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory, Rosie the Riveter.
By the end of the war, Archie and her co-workers had built 747 ships in 4 years and 8 months. Betty Soskin.
This was an amazing undertaking by extraordinary, ordinary people. And that's the story that I relate to, because I'm one of those extraordinary, ordinary people.
Now, at 88 years old, Soskin has had time to process her role on the home front during World War II. Despite the great social changes of that time, she still remembers the pain of the discrimination she faced as a black woman.
We were forced to hire men too old to fight and boys too young to go. Women out of their homes, disrupting the entire American mystique of what it means to be a man or a woman in order to gear up for that great mobilization. Even at that time, we were willing to sacrifice on the altar of racial segregation human potential of a huge, huge percentage of people based upon color.
But Soskin worries that we haven't learned from this history. She fears we still hold people back because of race, class, and gender.
I am concerned that as an American, there are still practices that are sacrificing African Americans, Latinos, that are crippling the country. I think that's a tragedy, and maybe that's the lesson of the mobilization that I take away.
And now she has a platform to share those lessons. Betty Reed Soskin is a park ranger at the Rosie the Riveter World War II Memorial Park. She's the oldest park ranger in the nation.
Rosie, Rosie, Rosie the Riveter on the assembly line.
In Richmond, I'm Callie Schanefeld for Cross Currents.